got to come.
I'm going hard for my God, like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, sipping by to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus is excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him, grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot of souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like DJ Khaled, have your way however you choose to. Just let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with
it. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably see me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably see me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more. I tell you, I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you, it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan. But I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said, come as you are. He loved me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart. And since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me. Make me change my mind. Too many youth left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that pose the teachers or that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing. Growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving. My blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving. I'm living for his purpose. Giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. This is a day that the Lord has made. Amen. And we shall rejoice and be glad in it. It's a beautiful thing. Amen. In the city today, we are snowed in, but praise God for the snow. Amen. It saturates the ground so the grass can grow. God got everything down packed. Amen. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life, you know, and to my pastor producer, Gerald, Pastor O. Amen, and his lovely wife, and then the saints at Runner for Christ Ministries, church where hot rodders go. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And to all my friends and saints, and I didn't get the chance to meet anybody new, and to the folks that's here and there and everywhere, and to those of you that may be listening to this after the rapture, it's not too late if you're alive. Amen. We that close. Amen. Let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, and we appreciate this opportunity to come before your throne. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for paving the way, for paying the price, so that we can receive the comforter that you promised, the Holy Spirit, the person that guides us, teaches, comforts us, blesses us. Amen. So that we will become the person that you desire us to be. Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless each and everyone here today. Lord, bless us with the spirit of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the great and exceeding power that you have made available to those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking that you would strengthen us with might, Lord, particularly those going through the hour of bereavement. For yet we are yet challenged and shall be more so as time go on. But amen, that you are the God that gives joy in the midst of the midnight hour. And so, Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless each and every one, amen, to understand, hear what thus saith the Lord today. I ask you to bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and to bless them. Father God, I want it to be all of you and none of me, and I thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For those of us, just those that might just be tuning in, and I'm serious about this rapture thing, even though I know I have my expectations that it will come at a different time than now for reasons. I'm going to just say that. I think it's going to come. I think we're going through a downturn in the economy, and there's some stuff behind that, and I'm not going to waste time on that, because if you're paying attention, you'll get through that easily. Amen. And for those that are just tuning in, I have a series, 7 Causes for Prayer Failure, and the number one reason being Jesus Christ and not knowing the plan of God, not being in pursuit of the will of God. There's reason for it. See, you can't overlook the fact, or you have to be aware of the fact that Satan does exist, okay? And God let him exist. So if an omniscient God, if an omnipotent God allows such, then you really want to investigate the reason. So, you know, I try to share and bring revelation to that, and that's why I call this program Training Day, amen, because it says that. We're going to be going to, first we're going to go to Galatians 5:22, which is the base scripture, and then we're going to James chapter 1, amen. James, for those of you that don't know, was actually Jesus Christ's younger brother, amen. Imagine growing up in a household with Jesus, man. You know, I ain't going to say which one, but I had a sister. I have a sister. Still exists. I mean, she was as honest as the sunrise in the morning. You know, so we climbed in the house. She was going, my mother and them questioned about what we was doing. You know, she was going to tell the truth. Wasn't going to be no, I don't know, you know. She just was like some people like that. Amen. And God created them like that. I had a friend, my closest friend was like that. You know, that boy was carrying a Bible at the age of 10. I didn't know that you do that, you know. You know, my parents wasn't lenient, because my old man would he believe in this, sparing the rod, you spoil the child. There wasn't no spoiled children in my family. Amen. But we're talking about the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit. That's something to ponder that. Because, like I said, I didn't make this up. I don't make this up. Listen. I'd be doing something else. I really would. God want me to do this, and I'm glad. Because if he asks you to do something, you do it, amen, he's going to bless you in the process. I listen to some of these messages, and I'm like, wow. Amen. And it be what I prayed. Let it be all of you and none of me, because I have a set of notes, and very seldom do I touch much in the notes. But then I've been at this for 45 years, so this is coming out of my heart. And I've had the experience. I know when I talk about prayer failure, I know it works. I know what it's like to get a letter from the IRS saying we coming for $10,000 and we want it, and we're going to do such and such. And I found out that how to get before God. And again, the purpose of prayer is so that we, it's a minor level training of the use of the power of God. See, and that relates to all the promises of God. See, because the promises of God are always yes and amen. But then we can do stuff that will allow Satan to interrupt the process. See, just like in the garden, goes back, same principle all the way throughout history. You know, Satan interrupted the process when he scammed Eve and Adam, amen, into not waiting on God to explain the process. See, and it's a good thing that Adam didn't eat of the tree of life, because he'd still be here and we'd all be stuck living our lives in sin, because we wouldn't be able to die if Adam had ate of the tree of life. See, so, and it was in the garden. And this is the deep part. God did not tell him not to eat of the tree of life. He told him, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, you know, I had a Bible teacher in the Bible school that said a phrase that burned in my heart. It said, pay attention to detail. And those are the little details. This is what it is. See, this is how God coded the Bible. I mean, I call it 3D, and he'll 3D a phrase in the Bible and give you a whole different perspective on it, even though you've been reading it for 20 years, like with my initial scripture, 1 John 3:20, although it does not yet appear, when we see him, we shall be as he is. But see, when that comes from you spending time sitting still and listening to God, TV off, radio off, hopefully you don't get interrupted by your kids, but that ain't always the case for y'all young married folk. But that's spending time with God. Read the word. He will talk a little to you when you don't read the word, but he verifies everything through his word. So when he's talking to you, whatever he says to you, God never goes outside his word. God is not going to tell you to play with a Ouija board. Okay? If God is, you know, if it ain't in the promises of God, you don't have a guarantee from God. Okay? So we're talking about the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit, and let's go to Galatians 5:22 and read that. Read what the fruit of the Spirit is. But those of you now, fruit is productivity. So it should be something that manifests. In other words, there should be some change. If it's fruitful, it's per change. You know, I was working on a car this weekend, and it was fruitful. I succeeded in what I intended to do. And that's the same thing here. God gave, look, we don't have a substandard spirit. When God breathed into Adam, he gave him the breath of life. And then when we received Christ, he gave us a higher level of authority, a higher level power that we don't get to really try it in this life. When Jesus comes back for that 1,000 years on earth, see, think about that. Why 1,000 years here? Why not just go to the new earth and new heaven in Revelation chapter 22? Why have that 1,000-year period with Satan yet locked up but alive and able to act ignorant, but he can't come on. He won't be on earth. He'll be down, locked down in the abyss. Why does God do these details? Because the God-man, we, like I said, right now we're operating from the flesh. Jesus' body is in like mind. I mean, if you look at John 20:26, when he visited the disciples, he just appeared. But that same, with that same body, they had breakfast together. So he can eat and still taste food. See, the only difference is he won't get fat. The body is at a different level. And he don't have to, he can teleport. People are working on that in science realm, trying to do that. See, these are capabilities that have been in the midst of us, but we don't have the discipline for that level of power. That's what this was about. And it was a process. Everybody in the Bible did not have a Bible, but they had to live to the standard of the Bible. Now, granted, God cut them some leeway. There's no question about that. He cut them some leeway. But the more he says, to whom much is given, much is expected. And no generation has had as much to relate to God as our generation. So let's get into this, because, like I said, the fruit of the Spirit is not the fruit of your mind, fruit of your soul, the fruit of your college professor. It's talking about the Spirit of God. It said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. All those are legal. And if you go up above that, you'll find out all the unfruitful things. And if those things are occurring in your life, then the Spirit is not running things. Now think about this. Paul was talking to the Galatians. The Galatians were a Gentile group. And they were typical humans like we are. I mean, think of what God is introducing here. They had their own cultures and their own ideas about what life was about. And Paul had to instruct them, and he was doing it on the run. He didn't have, see, he wasn't coming to them every week. He couldn't, like I'm able to do with y'all, all over the internet, all over the world, store it up. People will be watching this after the rapture, you know, and they're like, well, I should have listened in. Man. But anyway, so what we're talking about here is, today we're talking about joy. And notice it follows behind love. We talked about love in previous sessions, and we understand that love that it's talking about is agape love. It's not an emotional type love. Emotion comes from the revelation in your mind. See, that's why people, see, this, when people say, they felt the Spirit in church. They actually didn't feel the Spirit. They had a revelation of what God is confirming in their spirit. And when God confirms something in your spirit, you have joy. You have confidence. Matter of fact, now we want to go to James chapter 1 and listen to what he had to say. Because imagine, you can imagine having Jesus as your tutor at home, you know, and then seeing all these things. It'd be something. They tried to make a movie about Jesus' early life. It's just not a lot of documentation between the age of 13 and 30. But, you know, it probably is somewhere, but God don't think it's necessary for us to know. So now you got to get the picture of what's going on. Jesus then came. He then left, and then assigned the apostles, so now they're starting to grow the church. They got to take this message out to the world. Most of the world is multicultural, believing in 100 gods. The Romans are still on the scene, and persecution is going on. Now, in the midst of, when we talk about persecution, we're talking far more than name-calling, calling you an idiot and a dummy and all these things that they call people that they say still believe in this mythological Jesus. When they're about to find out he ain't mythological. They were being executed. They were having their heads cut off. They were being tied. Imagine being tied between two horses and having your arms tied up. They tied to the tail of the horse. To the harness of the horse, and the horse pull your arms on out, all the way out, totally off your body. Or they pull your legs, totally off your body, separate, stuff like that. I mean, take the sword and just cut you down the back and cut you all over, and you tie it down and then let ants crawl all over you. See, we ain't going through nothing. We think we going through something. They went through something. Now, in the midst of this, look what James said. I'm going to start with verse 1. It said, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Amen. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, imagine you get that in the mail, and now you know that you got a crazy mayor signed under a crazy governor, signed under a crazy president, and they done said, these Christians, we're going to deal with them. We're just going to kill them. We're going to beat them. It's open season. I never seen the movie The Purge, you know, but people told me some things. So basically, I think The Purge is going to become a real event. And sometimes in the movies, they have prophetic events without knowing that they're really, because when the rapture comes, the Holy Spirit is going to be restrained, okay? So what the benefits you have now, you won't have after the rapture. Evil, just like now, you're seeing evil. I just responded to a person that has a child that I believe is demon-possessed, and I gave them some revelation of what kind of church they need to go talk to the pastor, and they got to make a commitment to Christ. If they don't, then that's on them. But because there are less people praying, less people doing the will of God, then the fact Satan is raising up. He raises up. He tests when he finds himself able to move without resistance. He does. He knows. He can look up. He can visit heaven and see what the conditions are, and then he know when to attack. Okay. He still had this delusion that he can win if he get an edge. I don't even understand that dude. That's a level of stupid I don't get. But okay. So, again, like I said, with all that, James is telling them to be cool. And not only that, he said, count it all joy. Count it joy. How you going to count joy getting beat with a whip? See, now, granted, they were, a lot of this, it was for them. And the fact of the matter, I'm going to get to how you get there. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you have to make yourself praise God, but we're going to get to that. Count it all joy. Why? One is, you have a covenant with God. Now, again, like I said, we all got Bibles. I got a bunch of Bibles. I got Bibles, commentaries. I mean, chronological Bibles. I've got stuff. Then we got YouTube, TV. We got internet. We got everything, every kind of access. We can Google questions. We can Google a prayer. They didn't have none of that. They didn't have, they was a Dixon's Bible bookstore to go to. They didn't have any of that, and they just had to believe what they were being told. But I know that God, during that time also, was doing more than an average. Well, actually, he was doing what the faith, look, God moves according to faith. That's pretty much it. It doesn't matter back then. He doesn't give them more because they had less, even though, I don't know, he might have gave them a little more. But we should have more in the way of the Spirit because we have their record of experience. And it should be, it's just like cars are faster now, Christianity, and it is in some churches. It is more power being wielded in some churches. Some, unfortunately, are less, but I'm not worried. They're gonna get a tune-up. That's what's going on in the world right now. All right, so we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit is joy. James is talking about have joy in the midst of trial right now. It's people going through changes. I have to fight back tears, but I'm good at it because I get frequently, weekly, get a call or a text message that somebody I know personally has died. I've never seen this before in history. I've never experienced this before. To me, I thought if I went to 4 funerals in 1 year, that was a lot. That was overwhelming. I quit counting at 50 last year. I quit going to everybody's funeral. I used to have a standard. All right. Now, in the midst of all that, imagine you just lost a loved one. And God is saying rejoice. Rejoice is an action word. That means you got to bring it up out of your spirit. Okay, because it's in there. Now, there it is, right to the point. Perfect segue. It is, the probability is in your spirit, because it's about managing your emotions under pressure. It's about, because again, this links back to the origin of the creation of man, the God man, the ability to wield power. During the 1,000 years, you will have contact with people still going through these changes. And obviously, they're going to get on your nerve. If it was going to be, I believe, if it was going to be a totally problem-free society when Jesus come back, we would need to train it. I mean, the devil ain't going to even be on the planet. But that once Adam got in, well, Adam, it's not only Adam's sin nature. It's the fact that God could not make him totally equal to him. God will always be the one single one that never get it wrong. Just like angels with all the power and authority they have, they get it wrong. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we shall judge the angels. I got some issues with some angels. But then that's why I learned that I have to command angels. I wasn't saying nothing. They wasn't doing nothing. So it wasn't always there. It wasn't on them. Well, at least I think it was. We're going to find out. See, we're going to find out everything. What this song says, you understand it by and by. You understand it better after a while. All right. So we're talking about having joy in the midst of sorrow. All right. So now I want to read this too from James. How do you get it? In James in 1:5, right after he said, love patience, have his perfect work, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, upbraideth not, and shall not, and it shall be given to him. I'm going to read that in a simpler version, the NIV, so that you, some of y'all, for some of my people that's very new for this. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read the whole section. Verse 2 out of the NIV said, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing training day of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Here's the kicker. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, or she asks, he or she must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. So he's said, go to God. I'm consistent with telling people to go to God, particularly folk when they send me messages, they disagree with me. I'm like, did you ask God about it? Your mind is equal to mine. Your mind might be even higher than mine, but your mind is not higher than God. Unless you can tell me what, show me, God will tell you in his word in more than one place an error that needs to be corrected. He does that with me all the time. All right? So it ain't about that. I'm not into religion. You can argue with religious folk. There's a bunch of them that hold debates. They'll do a TV show on debates. I ain't that guy, because I know one thing about it. A person that don't go before the throne of God every day for more than 10 minutes is really functioning on their own mind. They're not seeking the will of God. You can't spend a little bit of time, dear God, the least amount of time of your life, and he don't even ask for a whole lot, and you're going to know his will. If you can't, you cannot not read the Bible and know the will of God. It's just saying, you know, people make decisions thinking it's the will of God because it feels good to them, or they pay more money. Yeah, well, you know, I had a friend of mine, they moved to a city, they got a blessed job, and they just knew it was God and their daughter. They figured this environment is upscale and high quality and big money, and their daughter got on drugs. You know, because no matter where you go, guess what? Devils are mobile. Devils are mobile. Angels are mobile, devils are mobile. All right. Now you're going to have challenges in life. There's no getting around that. This is by design. This is part of it because you have to have an arrangement. See, it took me a while. I learned that God wasn't a robot, okay? I saw in the Old Testament God had emotions. He got angry. And when you get angry, whoa, you don't want to make God angry. All right. So James is saying you can ask God. Think about that. He ain't say go to your pastor. It does not say if you lack wisdom that asking your pastor is not asking God. And sometimes God probably get insulted when people go to their pastor, especially if he know they got a pastor that ain't committed to him. You know, this is it. You know, you got these franchise pastors out there. They're there for a job. This is not a job. It's a calling. Amen. So let him ask of God. And that's what it means. I got into this. I got delivered by asking God. And he could have just ignored me, but he didn't. So I am confident when I tell people, ask God about it, they're going to get an answer from God. If he does, listen, he may answer right away, he may not, depending on the situation. You may have ignored some things that you already know, but the Holy Spirit will bring it up to your memory. That's what it said, John 16:13. He shall bring to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. He shall bring to your remembrance that which is coming. That's why we know where the world is going. All right. So, talking here, we're going to go to one of my favorite scriptures on how to get drunk. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18, you know, because if the Bible telling you to do something, it's a way to get it done, okay? And that is just this is not new, but it is what it is. And I don't be a person that just get caught up that it should be another way. The reality is you're not God, okay? You know you're not. You didn't pick your birthday, you don't get to pick the day you die. You know, some people recently found that out, okay? You get to pick whether or not you go to heaven or hell, and that's a big choice. And you got to be an idiot to not want to choose heaven, you know? You get to choose whether you're going to be in the kingdom of God forever or not. You don't like the alternative. All right. So, we're reading in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul again talking with another culture, Gentile culture of people. You know, it's amazing. Anyway, I'm not going to go into somebody else's definition of that. It's a great chapter to read because he's telling you, but I'm going to start with verse 16. Well, now I'm going to start what it says. Okay, you have to understand it. This Ephesians, Ephesus back during this time would have been like Las Vegas. Okay, if you've ever been to Las Vegas, I was in Las Vegas and I went to Las Vegas, enjoyed myself. I don't gamble because gambling is not connected to the promise of God. You cannot pray to win at gambling. Okay, if you're doing it, you just spitting out win. You can't pray to win anything of that nature. All right. Now, if you gamble, amen, you're just throwing away money. You're telling God what your responsibility with money level is. I mean, your responsibility to money at what level you're at. That's what you're displaying. Because if you know, there are things to entertain yourself with beside that. But anyway, it was a great place, but it was incredible. I mean, they have people out on the street handing out. I didn't know what a whole card, y'all young folk don't know what a whole card is. I didn't know what a whole card was till I went to Las Vegas. They actually have cards, like baseball cards, with prostitutes on them. And I mean, this was ridiculous. And people be out, and it's legal. They be out on the street handing out these cards. That's the biggest trash you'll see on the street, with these prostitute call girls that'll come to your room and all that. And that's too nasty. I didn't even like that nasty when I was in the world. I just could not see a woman and they had 5,000 men. I just can't. That's too much mileage for me. But anyway, you know, used vehicle ain't bad, but that's a lot of mileage, you know. All right. So Paul here is giving instruction, okay? And note how he did. I like how he handled it. First time I read it, I grasped it. It says, wherefore, verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise. You know, that's his nice word. This is what my teacher said. He said, unwise is a nice way to call somebody stupid. Be ye not, so if somebody call you unwise, your wife call you unwise. Anyway, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's a very key phrase, the intention of God. You know, you really got to read. This is why you have to read. Remember the Bible. When the Bible was written, there were no chapters and verses. God instituted that later on, okay, for the purpose of memory. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now, and giving thanks always for all things unto God, to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to go another place with me, where Jesus was with the disciples just before he paid for our salvation. That's in Matthew chapter 26. Down at verse. Anyway, they were having communion, all right, because Jesus is about. Well, at this point, Judas had gone off to betray him. Well, he had already did the double cross. And anyway, in verse 26, it says that they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it unto the disciples and take and eat this. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and give it unto them, say, drink ye of it all, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. That's the elimination of it. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus said it, I didn't. Now, this is the part, though, that I want to focus in. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, know what they're getting ready to face. Now, they don't really know the depth of what they're getting ready to face right now. But they sang a hymn were basically comprised of the Psalms. That's what a psalm was. A psalm is actually put to a melody. And those are the Psalms that they sang. You know, that's what they would sing. And today we have, that's basically what songs are. They are songs of God in victory and his love and his promise keeping. And so what you do, this is the area that you make a part of your life. You cannot not praise God. You know, it just amazed me. See, I don't look at the fact that people come to church late, because there's a variety of reasons for people coming to church at the time they do. Some people are just getting off work, and they want to come. Some people, it's whatever reason, but then there's some that just don't really think it's a big deal. And they usually come at a part that they don't think is significant, which is highly significant. See, the joy that you're going to need is based on the revelation of God keeping his promise to you. See, in their case, they really didn't have They had some things to look forward to, but they knew that if they died, they died in the Lord, they would be resurrected. And, you know, I mean, even if you didn't know what went on where they transitioned to, you know that when you sleep and you wake up in the morning, it seems like a second. It don't seem like a whole 8 hours or 4 hours or whatever it is you sleep. So either way it go, they just knew that they were going to be, they had a revelation in their spirit, because you have to have it in your spirit, man, for it to really be true for you, firm for you, to stand on. Because, again, like I said, you have to look at the environment they were in. It's like right now over in India, there's this website, Save the Persecuted, Pray for the Persecuted Saints, because in other countries on this planet, there are 250 million Christians being persecuted right now. And I'm of the mind, and I told God, if he send me, I'll go. Because they only need to know how to operate in the power of God. The devil can be stopped. They're going to have some challenges, but they don't just, you know, I saw one of them videos where they cut like 20 Christians' heads off and ask them would they deny Jesus. I seriously doubt that. Even now, I had to learn about commanding angels. I mean, did the math. If they weren't doing what they were supposed to do and God said that they were going to do it, then there has to be a place where we don't know what we wasn't doing, because God's word is true. It said the angel encamp around those that fear him. So that means you should have consistent protection. So when he slipped through and take somebody out, there was a breakdown in communication. When I started making a daily command for angels to encamp around about my household and to be around my children, I started seeing results, and you don't have the fear. Now, people can debate all they want. I deal with results. You cannot do it. That ain't going to affect me. That's going to affect you. You don't have to. You know, I'm going to eventually do a segment on that issue, on what the scriptures are saying. See, because there's some powerful creatures. And that's again, when you want some logic to what James said, you have to look at the power of a man. And to look at the power of man, to get an idea of the power of a human being, you got to cross-reference all the angelic events in the Bible, where you see in Chronicles or 1st, 2nd Kings, where one angel killed 185,000 men and did not sweat. One, not an army, one killed 185,000, okay? One angel snatched Satan by the head, threw him down to the earth, the first earth, so hard that it obliterated the planet. And we don't, with all the nuclear arsenals planted today, we can't do that. We can make some big holes in the ground. We can radiate the atmosphere, but we cannot completely obliterate, crack this earth in half. We cannot break it down into the Bible said it was void and without form. Think about that. Now, see, this is not no fiction book. Now, a human outside of their body has to have minimum 10 times that power. Minimum. That's what they say, 15 times that power, 15%. We use 15. The angels get to use 100%. We use 15% of our brain. Why? Because we're dangerous. Look, I'm telling you, listen, don't trip on me. But again, like I said, I didn't have a problem praying for Trump. I didn't have to answer. The problem person that has a problem would be the one that had to answer, because they got to decide whether they, you know, I know God was like shaking his head like, man, I don't know about this one. See, he asked us to do the easy part. He do the heavy lifting. I don't have to answer the prayer. Like I told you before, I had to pray for a man that starts stabbed his mother 50 times. I had to witness to a man that chopped his two sons up and wife with an axe because he was mad about a relationship he was having that was unholy. And God still wanted to deliver him. That's how loving God is. Listen, Apostle Paul, when you read the New Testament, the majority of the New Testament, two-thirds of the New Testament was written by Apostle Paul. He was the Adolf Hitler of his day. Per capita, he killed almost as many of his own people. His own people. People miss that detail. Paul wasn't killing. He was only killing Christians. And at that time, the only Christians around were Jews. Now, if y'all challenge that, I'm open to discussion. You know, you send me an email, 7trainingdays@gmail.com. I mean, I read Josephus. Hallelujah. But anyway, so, and again, in the midst of this, he's saying, be okay, then you know they're coming to your neighborhood, their city away, and they're coming to kill you, but rejoice. And that was just part of the battle, because then you had the situation of, like, where we going? Well, we ain't going. I'll be going to rapture. During the period of the tribulation, where they you're going to have a totally cashless society. I experienced that today. I went to McDonald's, and they say you got to have a card or correct change. And I didn't have correct change. And y'all seeing it. You go into the store, and they say they don't have no change. You go into the machine, and they say you can't get no cash back. See, we knew this was coming. We were prepared for this. So even if it get to that place, some people are experiencing right now, like I said, in India and China and Russia and in the Middle East, Christians are going through persecution, having their possessions turned away from them, and they're wondering where God is at. Well, some of them are getting the word in the revelation. The word is getting in there. So some of them, this is why you're going to see some supernatural changes in the Middle East. It's not going to get, you're going to see it, because that's the biggest growth of Christianity on the planet today. Ain't there something in the place with all that house? See, the news won't show you that. You know, you had to get it through other sources. But they're receiving Christ because they have a heritage. They have a heritage. most of the Arabic Muslims are descendants of Abraham through Ishmael, okay? And the promise that God made a promise to bless all of Abraham's children will be blessed. We're included in that in Galatians 3:28. That's how we Christians, some of y'all could go to 23andMe and you might find out you're Jewish anyway. Well, you come from a Jewish heritage. But anyway, but they are entitled. They are grasping that because it's being told to them, and they are doing this. Is the key phrase that is getting them. See, people like to argue, well, Allah ain't really his name. Listen, when I came to Christ, I called every name I could think of. I'm like Buddha, Allah, whatever, Krishna, whoever you are, okay, reveal yourself to me. That's exactly what I did. I tell you no lie. Because I didn't know. I mean, I knew my mother's God. I used to call my mother's God. When she was praying, I used to say she was praying in the bed. I didn't know, you know. Because, see, we relate everything. We don't see everything. You know, my father was the only one that worked in the family, and I never missed a meal. You know, I've never been homeless. So I saw what prayer can do. God is bringing all that stuff back to my memory. So, you know, but the fact of the matter is, there's growth there. But they're also being persecuted because, you know, the other brethren have been told that they're going to take over the world. But they get away from the Bible. But then again, this is the issue. This is the issue. I don't want to forget this point. They go to God. You take it to God, you take it to God in humility, he's going to answer. If you go to God, prejudice, he's not gonna bother you. I'm running this. You know, you can't tell me. So he's telling you to have joy. You gotta, it's a scientific fact now that you can make. It says that have about 4 belly laughs a day. We had a doctor at our church, you know, teaching. I'm talking about a doctor with doctorate degree, not a PhD in theology. I'm talking about a medical doctor. And he talked about the fact that you can start off laughing, and you make yourself laugh. Make yourself laugh, and you will find your spirit taking over, and you will find yourself in roaring laughter. Okay? You can make yourself be themselves as a success. They don't see themselves as mediocre. That's what they want to do. See, so you can do this, but we got it easy. You know, before every day when I start my first prayer out, sometimes my second prayer, I sing praises. When you sing praises, they are encouraging because you're singing about the God of your salvation, the God that will make things right for you. Doesn't matter the situation. This is why we go through these changes, so we can learn to use this power, and it's encouraging because, like I said, we got to really get it at this level. We got to get it at this level. You really need to show forth because that's with any society. You think about it. You go to any corporation. If you know, one of the things I know about Wall Street, when I was used to read business reports, if a company had a bad quarter, they wanted to hear from the CEO how you gonna make the next quarter better. They don't want to hear the excuse of why it was bad. Because if you give them excuses, they're going to sell your stock. Because they like, you don't look for, they want men of faith, even though it may or may not be in God. See, and this is what this is about. See, James is talking about, you know, you got a relationship with God. See, they were hot off the press. So it's things that we understand now, because we've had more time to read their experience and spend time with God and for him to pull back the layers and reveal more to us, something is simple. So I missed the point about people coming to church late. Those first songs that they sing, those are the receiving songs. Those are your offering sacrifices to God because it's your energy. You're offering sacrifice to God, spiritual sacrifices. They're in his realm. You're in his realm. And God responds with revelation, puts it right in your spirit. And then your Holy Spirit in you communicates with your human spirit later on in the day when you have time to listen. And he will give you revelation on what you need to do for whatever your situation is. See, that's how this thing works, okay? You stick with me somewhere down the road, I'm going to be talking about Holy Spirit. That's a person. See, you gotta get your mind into the reality of what this is. That's a person. Now, think of the Holy Spirit as like a computer chip particularly in law enforcement, the radio. You can buy radios, the same type that law enforcement officers have, but they have a chip that allows them to communicate with each other that you can't access unless you're a technician and know how to supersede the process. But the average person cannot go into a store and buy a radio that will let them hear law enforcement communicating because of the design of the chip. So if you don't have Christ, okay, that's not Jesus' last name, that's a description, power of God, that's a description of the life of Christ, the paid sacrifice of Christ, the blood of Christ, draped over your sin nature spirit. You getting that? We see it and we see that Christ. Ask God what that means, because it would take more than a minute to tell you. Mary's last name was not, Joseph's last name was not Christ. Jesus did not grow up in the Christ family. They were not the Christ family. He was the birth of Christianity, but Jesus Christ is not his last name. It is, he is the mediator between man and God. Listen, before Jesus died, you will not see the term or him being referred to repetitiously as Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? He completed the process when he went to the cross. All right. So we're talking about here, like I said, I had this thing, years ago it started, you know, when I would be too tired to go to church, and that would be the devil telling me not to go. That would be my cue to go. I would be tired because I worked a lot of hours. We were forced to work a lot of hours, and this flesh gets heavy. But then, and I would show up, and when you talk again, See, there's what they call the similar words. That's the only way I can come up to Holy Spirit, Christ, anointing. They're all power words, see. And what they will do is enrich your human spirit for the need that you have. And in their case back then, they needed a revelation. They didn't have Bibles, but they had. God has always been open to communicate with them. That's another thing. Being a Christian allows God to have direct communication with you. That makes you part of his kingdom. Satan can't block that effort. See? He can't get in the middle of that. You're the only one who can allow Satan to do that. See? He will try. Yeah, I mean, it ain't like he's sane. You know, anybody get kicked out of heaven got to be crazy. I mean, I would have shoot. I'd have been one of them lazy angels. They'd have to come find me. What do you mean talk about rebel against God? Dude, I got it made. What you talking about? Man, shoot. Man, they went skiing without skis. they can fly. That dude crazy, man. Shoot, I want to go down the bottom of the ocean. I don't know. Everybody want to go out of space. I want to see what's in the bottom of the ocean. Amen. Bottom line is, don't miss that first praise. Listen, and that's a phrase. It said, praise him like ain't nobody watching. Forget people. They ain't got heaven. They ain't going to answer your prayer. Sing. Even when you feel the presence of God, sense the presence. Listen, you got to understand, when you enter into his church, when you're in your basement and you go before the throne of God, because your flesh is in your basement doesn't mean your spirit ain't before the throne of God. And there'll be times when God will just flood you with his presence. He'll surround you with a host, and you'll know it because it would be ecstasy. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about when you get to praise God. That's why they're in it. But whenever that happens, anytime, at any level, whenever that happens, when you feel the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, we didn't even get there yet, when you feel it, I guarantee you, he has deposited something in your spirit, man. It may not have nothing to do with church, okay? You may be like me, building a hot rod, and he may be giving you an idea of where to go get something on a discount. God is loving like that. He's love. He's a father. He wants a heavenly father. See? He just don't want, when the day come and we all have that power at full level, he want us to be able to have it at full level. We don't have that right now. See? And that's what this is about. See? So we're going to be sticking with joy, apparently, for a little while. Because it says, think about this. If it's in the Bible, God wants it to be this way. He wants you to understand this. Amen. How to get it. So don't miss that. And even when you're at home, sometimes just take a praise break. And you're driving your car. Learn some songs. I learned some songs. There's some songs I sing. I know them by heart. See, that's what I sing, you know. Lift their hands in the sanctuary. See, that when you get to the presence of God, there's an exchange to go on. That's why Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. There's a change. People would sing, praise God. God would give them a revelation on what to do. Saw the problem. Spiritual, physical, financial. God saw the problem. You know? But that's a process. God never does thing for nothing. All right. So we're at the conclusion of phase one on joy. And so for those of you that may not have received Christ, this is your opportunity to receive Christ that was paid for by Jesus. Yeah, I know it's deep. It's deep. Like God don't have a birthday deep. But you have to let your mind go to that level. It'll come to you after a while. And stay. God will talk to you. Because you knew, you don't have to have, this ain't no seniority gig. God talks to you. I mean, when I first started, I was happy when somebody told me that God was talking to them, because I thought I was losing my mind. But I tell you what God won't do. He won't lie. He won't give you bad info. You know, God is smarter. He's omniscient. All right, but let us begin with this. Pray this prayer with me. Lord God of heaven, I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die for me. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin and that I am a sinner. And I ask you for forgiveness right now and to receive me into your kingdom. And Father, in the name of, I ask, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and save me now. And Father God, I thank you that I am saved. Amen. And I believe your word and your promise to me in Jesus' name. And then if you've been a Christian and you got sidetracked, life happens. Okay? Just simply pray this. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, we're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so just simply pray this prayer. Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, for the blood. I thank you for being my advocate. And I ask right now that you forgive me for all my sins. And I thank you for it. I believe it, that you will cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. It's that simple. You ain't got to burn no stone, no wood, no incense. You ain't even got to get no money. You know, it's paid for. And it's done. And when God say he forgive you, listen, what they call it, cause and effect, it had nothing to do with it, okay? You know, if somebody run into your car and you forgive them, that don't make the dent go out, but you just forgave them. And God keeps his word. And with that, remember this. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. See you next time.
Oh yeah,
here we go. Here we go.
A little run.
Little run.
No sweat.
No sweat.
I can do it.
I can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Hoorah.
Hoorah.
I love
Roger York.
Tell them bring your guns out.
You're
my city up in play.
Yeah.
And yeah, though I walk through the valley of the death, you're my hope still remains. Whether dead or alive, this is who I die. When Christ is a king.
I was tailored to snatch the mic swiftly like Ye did, and lay it down for the king like a slave bed. And they can kill us now, go get the yellow tape. Hey, put me 6 feet in the ground and watch your great escape. I promise ain't a six shooter that can keep me down. My God's so official, that's a technical foul. Was engineered in my mother's womb for God's glory. Plenty faith in the persecution is inventory. I've been spitting the faith, still extended in grace. Kicked out many a place just for sharing my faith. My belt tight, shoes lace, plus a press plate. My war helmet on, now I got my hair straight. The battle's on, but the war is over when Jesus reigns. And for his name, I will stand the pressure and take the pain. And if they drop us, his promise, we'll take him to the grave. That tonight we may die, but to die is our gain.
Tell them bring your guns out, get my city up in play.
Cause heaven is my home, homie, I ain't local.
for the gospel.
Let's go, let's go.
Tell them bring your guns out. Get my city up in play. Yeah.